And may I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And please do be seated. Thanks, Maurice, for sharing with us at the beginning of our service. Thank you. And I hope that as you go through your treatment, that you'll know that you're supported by the thoughts and the prayers of all of the folks in our church here at St. Mark's and, of course, at Putney Heights. So thanks very much indeed, Maurice. I've got some hymns in this morning about God's love. I thought it was appropriate to think of God's love and his care for us. I love this hymn, There's a Wideness in God's Mercy. Talking about the fact that often we restrict God's mercy to a concept which is closer to our own idea of who should be forgiven and who shouldn't. I don't know if you remember the sporting events where a guy used to get the best seats and he used to hold up a board saying John 3:16, and it always used to appear on world news. He used to be everywhere, Grand Prix, tennis finals, all kinds of places. This idea, you know, you must be born again. And there was an idea that you had to be born again, otherwise somehow you were condemned. And this verse from John 3:16 was used as a sort of a, look, we're the saved ones, join us. The rest of you are all going to hell kind of thing. Quite interesting, actually. The guy who used to hold that board up, he's now serving 3 life sentences for kidnapping. He's a bit of an odd chap, really. You can't have your scriptural cake and eat it. Yes, it does say, quite clearly, God so loved the world, he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If you believe in Christ, that you are safe, as it were. But, you know, it's very specific, this little passage. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's God's intention. To save the world, not to save the few, but the many. That the cosmos is huge. You know, that's the whole shooting match. That's God's intention. And this word, born again, it's an interesting one. It's a bit like our word orange. You know, it can mean a fruit or a colour. And the word that's used for born again can also mean born from above. And I think that that's perhaps a nicer word in my mind. Born from above means that this whole salvation work is God's doing. It's a spiritual renewal from above. It's God who's in control of salvation, not us. You know, we don't decide these things. And sometimes we can be a little bit like Jonah with the people in Nineveh. You know, he's really sorry. Oh, we don't want them to repent. They're naughty. And God's grace being so big. Let's look at Abraham for a few moments this morning. Because we have 2 massive passages. The John 3 and also this passage from Genesis. And we have Abraham. And he believes that God is leading him on a journey. Leave your country, God told Abraham. Leave your people, leave your family, leave all that you hold dear and familiar. Go to the land I will show you. And then we're told, so Abraham left as the Lord had told him. Easy. I really don't think so. I really don't think so. I mean, did Abraham wake up in the middle of the night one night or wake up in the morning and God wasn't sitting there, but he just heard his voice, you're hearing mine today. Leave this land, go to that land. I really doubt it. And I suspect that what really happened was that Abraham had a gut feeling. Something inside of him made him uncomfortable with where he was, and he felt he ought to be going somewhere else. And he made that soul-searching decision, hoping for the best. There's no doubt that in doing as he did, he changed history forever. It was a huge decision. I'm not trying to downgrade what happened in Abraham's life. Quite the contrary. What I'm saying is that Abraham tried to be faithful to God, and in doing so, he went through the same kind of conflicting emotions that we go through, should I, shouldn't I? And when you accept that, you can see it for an even greater act of faith. Because he didn't have the neon lights that we all would love to have when we make important decisions. They just don't come, do they? Most of us don't hear voices. And if we do, it often leads to terrible things. We all know that we go through desperate attempts to try and understand how God is leading us. And faith, real faith, is trusting in God and taking a chance. Abraham set out in faith, not knowing where he was going, not really knowing why he was going, except that he believed it was the right thing to do, and God would make it okay. It was a move from the known to the unknown, from the familiar and the safe to the risky business of going to a new place. He was leaving behind security and going to an unpredictable future. And nevertheless, he acted in a wonderful, committed way. And he was blessed, and so was the world blessed through him. Now, God challenges us in exactly the same way. We're challenged to go and see what's on the other side of the mountain. And it would be very easy and safe to stay where we are and not to move and not to grow. But God calls us to move out of the familiar into that which is unknown. And we don't hear a voice with those clear tones. Sometimes you might get a scratchy little bit of a voice. It's like when you're trying to tune in a radio and you're miles from anywhere and you can't pick up a signal. You just picked out the occasional little noise. That's more like guidance. Trying to discern that voice through time, prayer, and commitment. And it's in that lack of clarity. But nevertheless, God does guide us and lead us and encourage us, like Abraham, to new challenges, to new ideas. It mightn't be a move from a physical place. It might be a move away from our blind prejudices. It might be a move away from our childish views of who God is. But it's a move to discover new things. And it takes courage. But we're blessed by God as we do. In Lent, we give up little things, don't we? We give up, some people do. Give up little things like chocolate or alcohol or something. These are just symbols of that preparedness to move forward from doing things our own way, the familiar, the safe, to perhaps trying to glimpse a little bit extra of that path which God has set before us. And of course, this is what Nicodemus was doing. He's often maligned. You know, he goes to Jesus at night in the darkness, and he's often seen as sort of being frightened by doing that. Perhaps Nicodemus, like lots of us, finds that the night time's just the quietest time. You know, they didn't have phones, but perhaps that was the time when people left him alone and he could think. And he goes to Jesus when he's trying to sort it out in his mind, and he struggles. And Jesus talks about this, you know, being born again, born from above. And he tries desperately to make sense of it. And we know that later on in his life, Nicodemus was there at the death of Jesus with spices to anoint his body. He had a journey of faith that goes on. And I suppose only looking back was Nicodemus able to really make sense of what had gone on in his own life. Only as he looked back could he see the pieces like a jigsaw put together. Isn't life like that? We sometimes can see very, very clearly how God leads us, but only in retrospect. We go back and we say, yes, that makes sense now. Now it makes sense. And I suppose when they wrote up the passage about Abraham, it was very easy looking back. Oh, God told Abraham to leave this country and go to that country, and all the nations would be blessed through. It was very easy to see it in retrospect. But at the time, it's wrangling, it's trying to sort out the future and work out the way forward. That's what it's really like. So to finish, where does God want you to be? He calls every single one of us, wants us to be prepared at times to leave the secure and the known and explore new territory, engage with new thoughts. Jesus wants us to be born from above. That's about being changed, moved along in our spiritual journey. Being a follower of Jesus means that every day we try in small ways to make the presence of Jesus more visible in our troubled world, a world which he loves so much that he left the throne of heaven to bring about its salvation. Amen.